Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, hello there, everyone. We meet once again. What's up? It's Denise Salcedo, and I am doing a late-night WrestleMania Night 2 reaction, and I'm still here in Philadelphia. It is currently 2:19 a.m. Eastern Time, and truth be told, my flight leaves in, like, a couple of hours. I actually have to leave this hotel in literally 2 hours. So it's there's a lot going on right now. I'm still uploading content as this moment, so I'm hoping that this video goes up at some point from now until I get home to LA. But anyways, I want to talk about this card, and I want to just give some like instant reactions, how things went, what the Alive experience was, and just what happened on night two of WrestleMania 40. So here we go, because this one was a fun one. Now, I haven't decided which night I liked most. No way, I think I did. Honestly, like, even though I loved the ending of night two WrestleMania, because there was just so much with Cody winning his story, I still kind of, as of right now, feel like night one was a little bit stronger in terms of the card in its totality. But there were some really great moments in night two, so I'm maybe a little bit torn. But here we go. So the show opened up, by the way, with Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins. Now, this is one of the predictions that I actually got wrong, because a lot of people had been bringing up that they were expecting Damian Priest to cash in during this match. And a lot of people were saying it. But my whole thing with that was I just didn't feel like they had done enough to really kind of get Priest back up there to the point where you're thinking, oh yeah, he's totally got to be World Heavyweight Champion. I really do feel like Drew McIntyre has been the one that has gotten people talking. So I almost feel like this cash-in was sort of them just trying to get it out of the way. But I am looking forward to seeing what Damian Priest is going to be doing as World Heavyweight Champion. But let me kind of just break things down. So the match itself between Drew and Seth was honestly not even that long, but they made the most out of those 10 minutes that they were out there doing this match. We saw so many freaking claymores. It was very, very entertaining. And like, that's the thing. I thought that the way that Drew McIntyre won, I thought he looked great. I thought that it was the right thing to have Drew McIntyre win. And then when he goes up to CM Punk and he's like basically showing off the World Heavyweight Championship to CM Punk, I thought it was hilarious. Because not only was Drew McIntyre getting another WrestleMania moment, but he was also winning this big championship, and he's like taunting it in the face of CM Punk. I thought this was great. The crowd reacted so massively when CM Punk took off his I think it was like the shoulder brace, whatever it was that he had on his arm. And people like completely popped for it. And everyone got so excited with this interaction. And CM Punk ends up hitting Drew McIntyre in the face with the championship belt. And I'm thinking, oh my God, what are we doing here? So Damian Priest runs out, and it is this big moment. Like, people are really, really excited when Damian Priest runs out there to cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase. Thanks to CM Punk basically hitting Drew with the championship, Damian Priest is able to capitalize on that and win the championship belt. Now, my instant reaction was, I kind of felt like people were very excited in the moment for the moment. However, I'm going to have to like wait and see, because I really think that right now Drew McIntyre is doing the best work. And I really thought that they should have let him stay World Heavyweight Champion. So, unpopular opinion, but I really did think that Drew McIntyre should have stayed with the championship and kind of see where we go from there. Because keep in mind, like, Drew McIntyre, he's a hater, right? He may be a relatable hater. We all love Drew McIntyre, but imagine how funny and how different it would be to have Drew McIntyre as champion, being like this a-hole, essentially, that's not only an a-hole, but he's also, like, the champion, and he's taunting us with it, and he's making jokes of everybody. He's on his, you know, he's on his horse being all high and mighty. And so I think part of me wanted to see that, and we got to see it for a few minutes, but I definitely would have loved to see more of that. However, I'm hoping that this possibly means, and I think a lot of people are probably thinking that maybe they're saving like this big moment for Drew, come Clash at the Castle. I don't know. I, of course, still want to see Drew McIntyre versus CM Punk. So whenever CM Punk is good and ready to go, I cannot wait to see that match. And I hope that that match is maybe has the championship in the picture. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here right now and fantasy book all of that. But my instant reaction was, damn, I wanted Drew McIntyre to stay World Heavyweight Champion. Now, with that being all said, I'm very happy for Damian Priest. He is a good guy. He's a nice guy. And I think the moment that he really, really showed what he can do and what he can bring to the table in WWE was the match with Bad Bunny. That was the match. Like, when you think about why Damian Priest is in this position, it's because of that match against Bad Bunny. Because he really went out there and did a great job. And he kept this really famous singer safe. He was out there. He did this match. They freaking killed it. It was so goddamn entertaining. One of the favorite matches of the year. And on top of that, kept the guy safe. I mean, that was all of that good stuff. So I'm very happy for Damian Priest. I was very happy in the press scrum. So that was nice. But yeah, that's where I was at with that portion of it. So let's go ahead and move on. Also, good thing to note, by the way, is that the weather was not that bad today. The weather was definitely a lot more warmer than it was the day before. All right. So next up. Now, before I get into these next two matches, I need to emphasize something. So this is a live experience review. I didn't have the same experience as people watching at home. With that being said, that does not mean that my experience was like better or anything, because in fact, so the difference between yesterday and today. So yesterday, so both nights I sat in the press box, right? But yesterday, I was in the third row of the press box, which meant that I was higher up. And so I was watching the entire show on a TV screen. And so I was able to see perfectly, right? Because I was watching on a TV screen because I was higher up. So I had to watch directly on a screen that was in the press box. So it was literally like watching at home. And so that was great because I didn't miss anything. Like, I saw everything perfectly. However, this time I was like, oh, I want to see like more of the ring. You know, I want to get more of a feel. Like, I want to feel like I'm actually at WrestleMania, because that's sometimes the cons of being in a press box, is that you don't really feel like you're at WrestleMania. Like, you know, you're there and it's still cool. It's still totally different from being in your living room, but you don't really get a taste of the atmosphere. And I think that is the thing that I personally miss when I'm in the press box. I miss being in the crowd. Anyway, so this time I decided to sit in the front row of the press box, and I even showed up early. I was like, because all the seats are going to be taken, so I might as well go sit in the, try to get there early and sit in the front like a geek. So I decided to sit in the front like a geek. But this time, by the way, they opened the windows to the press box. So the press box windows were all open. So the entire night I was getting the same breeze that everybody else was getting, which I didn't mind tonight, because tonight, again, wasn't as cold as it was yesterday. But anyways, with that being said, because I was on the first row of the press box, I could not see those screens that I was seeing the night before, unless I turned my head like in an awkward position like this. And I didn't want to spend the show like this or like that. I wanted to look forward. So unfortunately, starting at this point of the card, as if you saw my tweets, you guys know where I'm getting at with this. They decided to turn this really, really bright light on. And this really, really bright light stayed on the rest of the show. Now, it was kind of annoying, very annoying. And I actually feel worse for the people that had it worse, because I saw some people's pictures like it was like right in their face. And thankfully, I was able to find ways to like look a different direction, maybe block the light a little bit. But I wanted to look at the, I like to look at the screen above the ring so I can look at the ring. And if I want to, you know, just get a little bit of better view of the match, I look up at the screen and I kind of go back and forth, right? But because of that big bright light, I couldn't look at the screen above the ring. And I couldn't look at the, I mean, I could look at the ring, right? But it was still, the light was still there. But I could only see so much, guys. Like, I'm high up. I can't really see that great. And it's just not the same when you're super high up and you can barely see. So I decided to pretty much kind of, it took me a while to kind of figure out a method of where to really keep my eyes on. So I was, for the next two matches, I was doing a combination of looking at the ring, looking at the screen with the big bright light, looking at the other screen, and then looking up on those two TVs that I was telling you that I had to make my head turn. I was doing a combination of that. I also had the Peacock stream on my computer. However, it's super delayed because the Wi-Fi is not that great. I mean, it was great, but not to stream. And when a bunch of people are on, it's super laggy. And it's just all sorts of messed up because I'm already seeing what's happening in the ring. And so watching it on the Peacock, I'm in delay. And so it's just, it just doesn't work out to really watch it on the computer. So anyway, so these next two matches, I feel like I didn't get a really good grasp for them, and that was the six-man tag team Philadelphia Street Fight. Like, I feel like I missed so much of that. They had Bubba Ray Dudley as a special guest referee, which was something that I had no idea was going to happen, by the way. And so I feel bad because this match happened and I didn't see it. I didn't see any of it, really. And there was like a couple moments that I saw here and there, but it was just like super distracting with that light on and just the whole complication of things. But Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, they get the win over the Final Testament. I wonder what the hell this even means for the Final Testament at this point, because we all pretty much know that it's like not that great. It's not going that great. And now with this loss, I don't know what to tell you guys. It's not looking good. The other match that I only got to see a little bit of as well is LA Knight and AJ Styles. Again, same issue with the freaking light. However, I kind of felt like this match was, from what I saw, it felt like your regular SmackDown match. I didn't really feel like it was anything extraordinary from what I saw. And LA Knight getting the victory on AJ Styles, cool. Biggest victory of his career so far in WWE. So him getting the victory, thumbs up on that. Now, finally, the last three matches of the card was when I finally started to be able to actually get used to my situation. So what I did was I just freaking, for the triple threat match, I just forced myself to look at the screen with the light. I know. And then my eyes started hurting, so I switched afterwards. But anyways, this match with Logan Paul, Kevin Owens, and Randy Orton for the United States Championship. First of all, loved the entrances with Kevin Owens coming down with a little cart thing and Randy Orton riding in the back. I thought that was hilarious. The match itself, so much fun. I love, of course, Randy getting those RKOs out of nowhere. Logan Paul cheating, using those brass knucks. I thought that the way they played out this entire match was very entertaining. Even having, I think, like KSI get involved. The crowd was actually getting creative during this match with their chants. They were chanting, we want water, we want Gatorade, just to piss off Logan Paul and his prime energy drink. So I thought that was really funny too. And so this was definitely one of the ones that I thoroughly enjoyed. Now, so back to this match with the United States Championship. At this point of the night, I kind of felt like it was the strongest match besides the opening match. By the way, yeah, like the opening match was just a lot of fun. And the story and the moment and everything just kind of worked itself out. But it really wasn't until this match, the United States Championship, where I really felt like the show started to pick up again. So that was that match. Next up, we had the WWE Women's Championship match. And this was Bayley defeating Io Sky. And I was kind of a little nervous for this one because I really wanted the crowd to react to this match. Because we've all been talking about how Bayley has kind of felt like they've been sort of putting her in the back seat. So much of the attention really went to Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. It kind of felt like Io Sky and Bayley didn't really have that same kind of attention. And so part of me was kind of nervous about what this was going to be like. Like, how was the crowd was going to, how were they going to react? Because they really weren't that, they really weren't that interested in the other matches, right? Granted, a lot of people could not see, but regardless. So when Bayley goes out there, loved her entrance, loved Io Sky's entrance too. But this match really did pull people in. I think this was the match, besides the main event, besides the opener, that truly had people invested in this. Like, people were hanging on. Everybody, I think, knew Bayley was going to win. So everybody was really just waiting for her to get her moment. And when the match was picking up, people were biting into it. People were singing. People were so into this freaking match because Io Sky and Bayley, they fought for it, man. They really did. And so Bayley, of course, she wins this match and the crowd just freaking loved her. This was great. I got to ask her a question at the scrum and it was basically just like, you know, her overall feelings and stuff. And she's very, very happy. You can tell she was in a very good mood. And it was just very cool to see her have her WrestleMania moment. And I think Triple H later on in his presser, he had mentioned that when Bayley went backstage after she won the match, all of the women were there like waiting for her to like applaud her. And so it's really cool that Bayley really has the respect from not just the fans, but also her peers. And everybody has good things to say about Bayley. And so I'm so happy for her that she's the champion now. And, you know, she gets back up there and she's going to do her thing and continue to kill it like she has in the past. But let's go ahead and get into the main event, which was Cody Rhodes finishing his story against Roman Reigns. And this was a Bloodline Rules for the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship, which, by the way, in the press scrum, Byron Saxton made sure to actually specifically refer to Cody Rhodes as the WWE champion. So take that for what you will. Holy cow, there was a lot that happened in this match. And this is what we were expecting to shenanigans. We saw the Usos, and the Usos unfortunately didn't have the best match on night one, and this was probably more, their part in this match I thought was probably more entertaining than like their whole match the night before. So them kind of going at it during this, that was cool. We saw Solo Sikoa get involved as well. It just kind of felt like there was just more happening. I was expecting maybe more of the Bloodline. Earlier in the day, Fightful had reported that basically Jacob Fatu was telling people that he had signed with WWE. So I think some people were maybe expecting more of that. Once I saw that report, I started to think, what if Jacob Fatu does come out here? They would have to do a little explaining, but they can explain it, whatever. I was expecting a little bit more on that side of things, but they really made up for it because we ended up seeing, we ended up seeing John Cena come out. We ended up seeing Seth Rollins come out, which I kind of thought was a little weird that they did the Shield music. When the Shield music came out, I'm like, I'm like, I know Jon Moxley is not coming right now or coming back as of that I know of to WWE. And I was standing there and I was like, this is weird. Why are they playing the Shield music? And then I'm looking at the stage and I'm waiting for him to run out. And I'm like, I don't see him. So I'm like, oh, maybe he's going to come out through the crowd like Shield does. So I'm looking and I don't see him either. And then finally, all of a sudden, I realize he's already in the ring. And so I missed what the hell happened, but apparently he got hit with a chair or something. So at that point, I'm like, oh, Seth Rollins is already in the ring. So they really took him out, laid him out very, very quickly. So that was kind of its thing. But of course, we see The Rock out there. He comes out. We also see John Cena. So then we get this moment between John Cena and The Rock, and you're like, holy shit, like, you know, they're Hollywood, both guys that have gone Hollywood having the stare down. And then of course we know their history, but I was waiting. I'm like, okay, there's clearly going to be more, right? Like, because you can feel it in the moment. And so I was waiting to hear the glass shattering. I was ready to hear Stone Cold Steve Austin, right? Because that was a theory. And at this point, I'm like, everyone and their mothers is coming out. I'm expecting Stone Cold Steve Austin now to come out. So Austin, by the way, does not come out. Instead, we hear the dung. And I was like, no, no, what? And lo and behold, it's the freaking Undertaker. And that one was more so surprising because he's, you know, he's retired. And he even had like a whole, I think it was on a podcast that he did, I think on his YouTube channel or something. He had said that he had an idea of wanting to come back to the ring and wrestle, but then that it was just something that, you know, came in and came out of his head very fast because he's not doing that anymore and he didn't want to get people talking and all of this. I don't remember the exact quote, but it was in there in one of his episodes. And so it's known that The Undertaker's had a hard time staying away. And who can blame him, man? When you have a career like that, your pretty much your whole life, it's so hard to step away from that. And him coming out and he had, you know, that small moment, he creeps up behind the Rock and all of that. That was very cool. They kept it very simple, but it was enough to really make people go like, holy shit. It worked out. Like I had said this, I believe, on my night one review, but WWE really knows how to make moments. They know how to turn up the volume on the dramatics. I said this on last night's review, and they did that again here today with all of these people coming out and getting involved. It was crazy. Of course, it did kind of take away a little bit of that attention from Roman and Cody Rhodes, but we were all expecting it at this point, so I guess it's not, you know, people love the moments. People want to react. People want to pop, and that was definitely giving you a reaction and a reason to pop for sure. But, of course, Cody Rhodes ends up finishing his story, and Roman Reigns is taken out, and his 1,316-day reign as undisputed Universal Champion is over. Done. He has been champion since August 2020. And when you go back and you think of where you were at in your life in 2020, it really is like, it's kind of astonishing to think how long he truly was champion for. And it's so crazy to think like, that's over. And it's weird because even though I know it's over, even though we've celebrated Cody Rhodes and all of that, part of me is still like, so used to Roman Reigns being champion. But it was definitely the right time. Definitely the right move to have Cody finish his story finally. And the way that they played it up, it was very fun. Like, round of applause. It was very enjoyable. I don't think anyone here is going to ever forget. If you watched or if you were there, people are not going to forget this match. People are not going to forget the match that they had last night. So they really did a good job of playing up the star power, playing up the magnitude of the match and the whole entire story, because it's had people buzzing for months now. Well, actually months, over a year, truth be told. I'm trying to think if there was anything else I wanted to say. So in regards to the press conference with Cody Rhodes, it was very emotional, of course. And I thought some of the interesting parts that he had said was, I liked his, he spoke about a conversation that he had with his mom at WrestleMania 39. I thought that was good. He talked about how he was gifted the watch that his dad pawned at one point, and he was gifted that watch after he won by Triple H and Nick Khan. That was another interesting part of the presser, and it's kind of all that's popping into my head right now. But anyways, that was the main event, and it was truly an awesome moment to see Cody win. You know, there was one thing that Triple H said about Cody, and he was saying how, like, it's really hard to make a babyface, right? And we know this because, you know, you got to be liked, and it's hard to find someone that's just unanimously loved by everybody. And Cody Rhodes is that guy, and that's what Triple H said. Triple H said, Cody Rhodes is that guy. Cody Rhodes is the right person for this, and I truly believe it, and I'm so excited to see what Cody Rhodes does as champion now. It's going to be kind of cool because a lot of people, you know, they're wondering like, oh, is he going to fail? Is he going to succeed? What's going to happen? I don't think he's going to fail. I think he's definitely going to succeed. And anyways, I can't wait to see it, man. But now I'm just rambling. Thank you guys so much. It is now, let's see, what time is it? 2:44 a.m. I have a plane to catch soon. So I will see you guys later. Thank you guys so much for watching. Please do not forget to check out all of the WrestleMania content that I've posted on here. And as always, thank you guys so much. Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.